do, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn with me to Psalm 142. That's our text for today. And so, and the superscription of this psalm tells us that it was written by David when he was in a cave. He was in a cave there in the area of En-Gedi. Michelle and I have been in that region of Israel. It's a place where there are rocky cliffs and caves in those cliffs and these goats running to and fro on those rocks. And David, as he was running away from evil King Saul, found refuge in a cave. He was all alone. He says this, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said last several weeks about how we can find God's healing for our hidden hurts. And today I want to talk to you about loneliness. As I begin my message, I'll share with you something that Michelle shared with me. She gave me permission to share this with you today. This week has been tough for us in that on Friday, our little dog Joey, little Yorkshire Terrier that we've had for 13 years and 8 months, on Friday, he passed away. And man, if you've been there, you know, if you've got that little dog that's been in your life for over 13 years and he's there with you all the time and he's part of the family and we just love him. And yesterday we were talking about it and I'm grieving over him more than I have some people, but there again, I liked him a lot more than I some people. And he's been better to me than some people have been. But Michelle said, now, Stephen, last week you preached on grief. And Friday, Joey died. And she said, and this Sunday you're preaching on loneliness. And she said, and you know, when you've been gone and you know, when you're traveling, when I'm home by myself, that dog has kept me company for 13 years. And she said, I'm lonely. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to be lonely without him. So you preached on grief and Joey died and now you're preaching on loneliness. She said, what are you preaching on next Sunday? I'm preaching on guilt next Sunday, by the way. But I am preaching on guilt next Sunday, but you know, loneliness can hurt. Would you agree with that? Loneliness hurts. There's a psychologist who gave this description of the pain of loneliness. She wrote, loneliness is perhaps the greatest of human aches. It thwarts our fundamental urge for connection. Even as infants, we look into the eyes of our parents to seek the reassurance of their mirroring gaze. She continues, in our early lives, the security of our attachments with our caregivers helps shape the degree of confidence with which we'll move through the world. We need other people, and loneliness hurts. We also have to recognize that being alone is not the same thing as being lonely. Our world is filled with people. We are rarely ever all alone. But we're often very lonely. Someone has said that loneliness is spending your days alone with your thoughts, your discouragements, and having no one to share them with. And so many people are experiencing that type of isolation and loneliness. 20% of Americans say they rarely or never feel close to people. 25% of Americans don't have a close friend, no confidant, no sounding board, no one to share the stuff of life with. And in this room today, filled with people, there are those of us who are lonely. Some of you are lonely because you've been deserted by your spouse. Divorce can be a greenhouse for growing loneliness. Not only do victims of divorce lose a mate, but they also lose friends as well, and people choose sides, and there's loneliness. Others are lonely because you've been separated by death from someone you love or care about. Some of you have been forgotten by your children and it's left you lonely. Some of you travel a lot and you're separated from your family. I talked to one man and he told me I had to quit the job I had traveling. He said, because it got to the place when I would come back home, I realized I was interrupting the flow of my family's life. They were just used to me not being there. Military families know about loneliness. The last church I served in Florida had 40% of the church was either retired or active military. And so I learned about a world that I didn't know anything about. And there's isolation on both sides of military marriages. When the spouse is deployed to somewhere far away and strange and dangerous, there's loneliness there. And then there's loneliness for the person left back home. Sometimes in a place where, usually it's she, where she's never been before. With no real connections and separated from family, there's loneliness there. Some of you are living in old age, and your closest friends are no longer living. It leaves you lonely. Michelle's grandmother lived to be 96 years old. And when she got to be about 94, 95, one time she said, you know, all of my friends died about 10 years ago. She said, my closest friends died 10 years ago. She said, I guess they just think that I died and went to hell. That's what she said. She said, because they've been in heaven for 10 years and I'm still here. Isn't that what she said? Loneliness. Some of you are lonely because you're single and you live alone. In 1950, about 10% of the American population lived in a sole family home. Now, 28% of all homes in America are sole person households, one person living alone. You come home alone, you may eat dinner alone, you wake up alone, you're alone. Some of you are lonely because you're a leader. Leadership can be lonely. People don't understand, and you can't tell them everything you might want to tell them, because you're in that leadership position. Some of you may be so successful that you're lonely. An extremely rich real estate tycoon in Dallas once said, if you go into business with an idea of building an empire, all you do is make yourself a nicer cage. He said, you're a prisoner of the monster you created. It's lonely. So you may be in this room today lonely. You may think that nobody knows about you or cares about you. Here's the truth from God's word. God knows you, God knows about you, and God cares deeply for you. Even when you're alone, lonely, and lonesome. I use the word lonesome because it sounds even lonelier than lonely. You know, we see examples of lonesomeness in the Bible. Sometimes among people of great, great faith. Dr. David Jeremiah points out, Noah was lonely. He preached to a wicked generation for 120 years and warned them about the coming flood. He had not one single convert outside of his own family. When the flood came, all connections other than his family were wiped out. He was lonely. Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, was consigned to the desert through no fault of her own. And she was so alone that she wanted to die. Abraham, the father of faith, waited many, many years for a son. And then once he had a son, he had to make the lonely walk up Mount Moriah, believing he would have to sacrifice that boy to the Lord. That's lonely. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. He spent 17 lonely years in Egypt as a slave and then a prisoner. For 40 years, Moses was banished to the outback of Midian, far from home and far from family, and he was lonely. And David, perhaps more than any other person in the Old Testament, experienced loneliness. He wrote Psalm 142 from a cave. If you're deep in a cave surrounded on all sides by rock and you get as deep into that cave as you can get for your own protection, that is a lonely place. But there in that cave, David discovered three things that God never stops doing when you're the loneliest. And that's what I want to talk to you about today as we look in God's Word. First of all, the Word of God shows us this. When you're lonely, God never stops listening. When you're lonely, God never stops listening to you. Look in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 142. Notice what David says in verse 1. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. He says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. Have you ever cried out loud to God? David did. There in that cave, he wasn't praying silent prayers or weeping quietly. He was crying out loud to God. The word cry there in verse 1 means to wail out in pain and anguish. David was crying out to God, God, I'm hurting. Lord, help me. And if you notice in those verses, all of the verbs that are used there are present tense and they're continual. He says, I cried and I kept on crying. I made my supplication and I kept on making it. I poured out my heart to God and I kept on pouring it out. I declared my trouble and I kept on declaring it. David didn't cry out to God or make his lament just once. He did it over and over and over. If you'd been standing at the mouth of that cave, listening to the voice from deep inside, you would have heard a strong man of faith crying out to God, screaming out to God, wailing to God, Lord, it's me, David. I'm the apple of your eye. Do you see me in this cave? Lord, I'm hurting. I'm under attack, and I feel so alone. And God never stopped listening. We need to know that when we're lonely. And we know that when you think of someone being lonely, it's not just the lonely widow in her house or her apartment. That's not the only lonely person in the world. Many people struggle with loneliness. Wealthy people, famous people, poor people, unknown people. Here's a list of what some famous people have said as they were honest about their loneliness. Oscar-winning actress Anne Hathaway confessed, "Loneliness is my least favorite thing about life. The thing that I'm most worried about is just being alone without anybody to care for or someone who will care for me." Joss Whedon, the director of the movie The Avengers, said, "Loneliness is about the scariest thing out there." Scientist Albert Einstein wrote, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet to be so lonely." Writer Ernest Hemingway wrote, "I live in a vacuum that is as lonely as a radio tube when the batteries are dead and there's no current to plug into." And Marilyn Monroe said, "Sometimes I think the only people who stay with me and really listen to me are people I hire, people I pay." That's loneliness. What did David do in his loneliness? He prayed because he knew God never stopped listening. In another place in the Psalms, in Psalm 55, verse 17, David describes his own prayer life when he was hurting most. He said it this way, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." He said, "I cried aloud in the evening, in the morning, and at noon." David wasn't saying, by the way, "I pray three times a day." That's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying, "I pray in the evening, in the morning, and at noon." He was saying, "I'm praying all day long. At night when I'm going to bed, I'm praying. And in the morning when I wake up, I'm praying. And during the daytime when I'm doing my stuff, I'm praying. I'm crying out to God." Why? Because he was hurting so deeply. So many times when we're lonely and hurting, we treat prayer as though it were a spare tire in our car. You know, when you got your car, most of our cars, not all of them anymore, but most of our cars have spare tires. And when you bought your car, you may have opened up the trunk and looked in there to see the spare tire, to know it was there, see what kind it was, and whether it was full size or one of those little donut tires. And you may have sort of figured out how the jack works so that you know how to use it. But you drive that car most of the time never thinking at all about that spare tire. It's just there. And if you crash and if you're on the side of the road and you've got to get going again, then you say, oh boy, I got to figure out how to use that jack and get out that spare tire. And that's how we use our spare tire. We use prayer that way sometimes. When I crash, when I can't keep going, when I don't know what to do next, then that's when I'll pray. And here's what God says. He wants prayer to be your first response, not your last resort. He wants it to be like the steering wheel guiding your life. He wants prayer to be like the engine powering your life. He wants prayer to be like the transmission keeping your life in gear and keeping you going in the right direction. When you're lonely, God never stops listening. Secondly, the Bible shows us this. When you're lonely, God never stops caring. Look in verses 3 and 4 of the text. David says in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. He's talking about his enemies, and he says, they've set a trap for me, and I don't know where it is, but Lord, you know. My spirit is overwhelmed inside of me. I feel like giving up. I don't think I can keep going on. But Lord, you knew my path. You knew my path. God knew David's path. His path includes every part of his life, his past, his present, and his future. Every point, God spoke to David and showed him that he knew where he was and what he had been through and what he was going into. God knows and cares. When you're loneliest, he knows about the guilt and the regrets that come from your past. And he knows about the frustration or the anger or the emptiness or the loneliness that you feel right now. And he knows about the apprehensions and fears you have about the future. When your life feels like it's shattered in a million pieces, God cares. And so David says, Lord, you knew my path. Then look in verse 4. I believe Psalm 142 verse 4 may be the loneliest verse in the Bible. Listen to what David says. Look on my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. His right hand was where his friend should have been. His right hand was where somebody that cared about him should have been. He says, I look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Think about the loneliness of those words. No one cares for my soul. Another translation puts it this way, there's not even one person who knows my name. No one cares for my soul. Nobody asks about me. Nobody calls me. Nobody's looking for me. When I'm gone, nobody misses me. It doesn't matter whether I'm there or not, they don't notice. Nobody cares. When you feel like nobody cares, can I tell you something? Jesus never stops caring. And dear friend, because Jesus never stops caring, can I tell you something? We as his people should never stop caring. Tony Evans tells this story. A young couple got married and were on their way home from the honeymoon. A tractor trailer pulled out in front of them suddenly, and the young groom swerved to avoid it. The car went into a tailspin and crashed. The groom was okay, but his bride was bleeding profusely. The young man knew that if he didn't get his wife to the doctor, she was going to die. So he got out of the car and he saw a sign just a little ways away. It said, the office of Dr. Rufus Jones, internal medicine. So he picked up his beloved and he struggled up the hill toward the doctor's home. He got to the house, he began knocking on the door. An old man came to the door and the groom said, Dr. Jones. The man said, well, yes. And the groom said, my wife is bleeding. She's dying. Please save her. Much to the young man's surprise, Dr. Jones said, I'm sorry, son. I can't help you. You see, son, I stopped practicing medicine many years ago. I don't have any equipment here. I don't have any medical supplies. I stopped practicing medicine a long time ago. Distraught with frustration and grief, the young man said, Dr. Jones, if you can no longer help hurting people, then please take down the sign. We've got a world around us bleeding to death. And one of the things that is killing people, literally, is loneliness and isolation. An article in Psychology Today called Isolation and Loneliness, a Potent Killer. It causes all kinds of things, including heart disease and dementia, eating disorders, other things. People are hurting. And we tell people to come to the church where we offer the healing power of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ. We tell people, this is the hospital, come. But if we're not going to be the hospital, then we need to take down the sign. There's no need having a sign that says Quail Springs Baptist Church and to call ourselves God's church if when people show up, they can't get help. We either need to be a real hospital for people who are hurting or we need to take down the sign. I don't think that's where we are, by the way. I don't think that's where we are. I think we do care for hurting people and we do help hurting people. That's not where we are, but church, listen to me, that's where we could be. And so every day we have to make a determination as God's people to be His church, to be His people, to be a representation of what Jesus Christ gave His life for. When you're lonely, God cares about you, and He's called us as His people to care for others. Number three, when you're lonely, God never stops working. When you're lonely, God never stops working. Look in verse 5 of our text. David says, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Notice David called God his refuge. That's a word that means a hiding place, a shelter, a fortress, a place of safety. David was deep in that cave, surrounded by rock, rock behind him, rock on every side of him. But he didn't say, this cave is my refuge. He said, God, you are my refuge. He was working to protect David, and David knew that. Oh, Lord, you are my refuge. And then he calls the Lord my portion in the land of the living. God was David's portion. David knew as long as he had God, he had everything he needed, including deliverance. And so look in verses 6 and 7. There David begins to anticipate how God is going to bring him out and how he's going to praise God. He says, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Remember, at this point, David was still in that cave, still being hunted by King Saul. And Saul had military power and manpower that David didn't have. But David was confident that God would set him free. He knew that God was working even when he was at his loneliest. As a result, he was preparing his heart to praise the one who cared for him and who would deliver him. Even when you are lonely, God never stops working. People have tried to solve the problem of loneliness in a variety of ways. One company designed a robot to hold someone's hand when they're lonely. One man charges people to simply sit with them and do nothing except keep them company when they're lonely. But here's what God's Word says. God Himself is working when your loneliness is the greatest because He loves you so much. Even when you don't realize it, even when you wonder, is He here? Is He paying attention? I don't see anything happening. You can rest assured God has never left you and He never will because He never stops caring for you. Today you may feel like the loneliest person on earth. You feel weak in your faith. You feel like you're not going to make it because the circumstances are beyond your control. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are never alone. I'm going to say that one more time because I think more of you really wanted to say amen to us. I'll say it one more time. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are never alone. Amen. Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary alone for 6 grueling hours. The crowds left him. All but a few of his followers left him. And before he died, he cried out to God in Matthew 27:46, "My God, my God, why have you," what's the next word? "Forsaken me." My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? The crowds had left him. Most of his followers had left him. And then he cried out to God at the 9th hour, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In those moments on the cross, Jesus Christ was the loneliest person in the entire universe for all of history. Nobody's ever been as alone as he was. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's beyond my understanding how God the eternal Father forsook God the eternal Son. I don't understand that, but I proclaim it because the Bible says it. My God, why have you forsaken me? There on the cross, Jesus bore in his body all of your sin, all of your griefs, all of your sorrow, all of your pain, all of your loneliness, all of your forsakenness. He was forsaken by God. He was forsaken by God so that you never have to be. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then the next verse of Scripture in that book says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? I will never leave you nor forsake you, He said. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. If everybody else goes away, if nobody else understands, if everybody else turns against me, if I feel like I'm absolutely standing out here all by myself, what can man do to me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. One of my best friends, in fact, my best friend in ministry, is a preacher named Rock Collins. He's preached here in Oklahoma a number of times, and I just love him. He and I have been friends for coming up on 30 years. I love to hear him preach, and I just love him. He was preaching for me one time at a church I was serving. That Sunday morning, he was talking about being forsaken and all alone. He was talking about loneliness and forsakenness. And he came to the end of the message, and he said, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. He was moving into the transition to the invitation and response time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But he was looking out, and because I was the pastor, I was looking out. And then he said this. He said, how many of you today would say that you feel abandoned and all alone? He said, I want you just to raise your hands. And I thought, Rock, nobody's going to raise their hands. I thought, you said abandoned and all alone. You didn't say lonely. If you'd said lonely, people would raise their hands. If you'd said, you know, lonesome, people would have raised their hands. But you said abandoned and all alone. That, you just set the threshold too high. But people don't feel that way. He said, if you feel abandoned and all alone, raise your hands. About 1,000 people were there that morning. And I stood and watched 300 people raise their hands. I feel abandoned and all alone. 300 people in a crowded room, abandoned and all alone. And they didn't just pop up their hands at once. It took a little while. Some of them just waited until several moments after he had asked, and they'd raise their hand and then put it back down. I've never forgotten that, because I don't believe that group of people that morning was unique. I believe that today There's a lot of people in this room. If someone were to ask you, you'd say, hey, I feel abandoned and all alone. Right now, God sees you. And God knows you. He never stops listening. He never stops caring. He never stops working. He was forsaken. Jesus was forsaken so that you never have to be. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me?